Let's all turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. We began looking at Israel last week in Joshua chapter 3, as they are now, after 40 years of wandering, they are now at the Jordan River across from the city of Jericho, and they're ready to go into the land that God had promised. And as they stand ready to go in, remember, God had delivered them out of Egypt. He had brought them to this land, but they were not able to enter 40 years before because of a lack of faith and trust in God. That's the reason. And so because of that, God chastened them, and he allowed them to wander 40 years in the wilderness until that entire generation was gone. So now, after the 40 years, they're ready to come into the land. As they come up to the place that they're going to cross, there's one obstacle that stands in the way, and that is the Jordan River. They arrived here at the time of harvest, and the Jordan River is swollen to over 1 mile across. Normally, that river may be 100, 150 yards wide. But during the time of harvest, the river floods to over 1 mile across. So the question comes up, how are they going to get to the other side? There was no way that they could cross this river on their own. They needed supernatural help. And it seems that God always does things in such a way that no man can boast of having done them on their own. And such is the case now as they face this obstacle. The crossing of the Jordan is no exception. Now, we started last week, and there are three points that I want to bring out in this. I'd like for us to watch Israel as they move past their Jordan, as they get across their Jordan River. Now, make the application, as I mentioned last time, that there are times in our lives that there are obstacles. There are Jordan rivers that we face that need to be crossed in order that we might continue on and that we might enjoy the spiritual blessings of God. And I hope that I want to give an offer of hope if you're in such a case right now. And if you're not, you probably will be, because we face these obstacles at various times in our life. But there are strategies, three strategies that worked, that got Israel across their Jordan River, and those same three strategies work today in our lives. So I want to speak to you out of Joshua chapter 3 and chapter 4 about getting past your Jordan. These strategies that we're going to look at were strategies that were used to get them across the river that stood between spiritual victory and where they were. Same thing applies to us. Apply these strategies to our lives today. So I want to note them. We began last week and we only looked at one, the first one, and that is that there's a message to consider. A message to consider. Now let's read verses 3 and 4 to begin with. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. So as we consider, first of all, that there's a message that is given here, and they're to consider that message, and the first thing is they are to watch God, they are to follow God, and they are to honor God. That's number one. Secondly, this message involved a command. Notice in verse 5, it says to the people, sanctify yourselves. What does that mean? It means get as clean as possible. To sanctify yourself means to get clean. Search your life, like David did. Search your life, see if there's any wicked way in you, and remove it. And in order for us to watch, to follow, and to honor God, we must be holy as He is holy. And the third thing was, there is a commitment. And that's in verses 9 through 13. Now listen to the commitment. And so Joshua said to the children of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into this Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap." Now I want you to note the message to the Israelites reminded them that getting across the Jordan did not rest upon their shoulders, but it rested upon the shoulders of the Lord. It was God's plan to get them across, and therefore it's God's problem to deal with. So in these verses, He, God, makes them a promise. He promises and tells them that He is going to bring them through in a powerful way. And so God here makes the commitment, doesn't He? It is God who commits Himself to bring His people Israel across the Jordan River. And all that was required of Israel is the same thing that was required of their ancestors 40 years before, and that is to trust God. That's all that was required of them. So those three aspects apply to us today. There's a message. There's always a message from God in getting us across the obstacle or through the obstacle that lies before us. All right, now let's look at secondly at the second thing, and that is there's a miracle to consider. In verses 14 through 17 of the third chapter, there is a miracle. All right, first of all, there's a problem. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, "For the Jordan overflows all of its banks during the whole time of harvest." Now, I mentioned to you earlier that the children of Israel are facing a big problem. The river is over 1 mile wide. There are more than 2 million people who have to cross over, and yet the Lord wants them to be on the other side. Now, they couldn't build a bridge. There wasn't enough material, even if they had the material. They could not be transported by boats because there were no boats. And if there were boats, they'd be sitting ducks for their enemies on the other side. And so there was only one way around their problem, and that was through the problem. Who was it mentioned a little bit ago? Mark, your statement that Brother Awalt mentioned about God, He gets us through the problem. Don't take it away. I think that's our mistake sometimes. We need to get through it. God's promise is to get us through it. Now, have you ever sized up any Jordan that you're about to face or that you are facing? Have you ever sized it up to see how big it is? Maybe you've looked at it and you've concluded, well, there's no way around it, there's no way through it, there's no way over it, and there's no way past it. I suppose at times in our lives we've been just like the 10 spies that 40 years earlier, just like those 10 spies who had spied out the land of Canaan with Caleb and Joshua, and when they sized up the problem, oftentimes we're just like them and we see things as being so bad there's no way. There is absolutely no way that we can ever face it. Listen to what they said in Numbers chapter 13. Verse 31 through 33. "But the men who had gone up with him," that is with Joshua, "that with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" Now everything he's saying there is right, isn't it? Except we can't able, on ourselves we're not able to go up. "They're stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Now, I think our problem oftentimes is that someone will say that when we face a situation, it just looks impossible, but what are we doing? We're forgetting God. That's generally our problem. We're looking at the situation, we're looking at the problem, we're looking at the Jordan, and all we see is the giants, and we're like grasshoppers. That's all we're able to see. We forget about God. Where we see only problems, God sees only solutions. Where we look at things and say, "There is no way," God looks at the problem and says, "Follow me, I have a plan." And so there's the problem. Now let's look at the plan that God has. You just have to excuse me. Look at verse 13. The plan was this. Here's what God says. "And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap." Now, I want you to get that picture. There's a catch to the plan that God has for Israel, and that the waters would part, and that is that the priests who were bearing the ark of the Lord were going to have to step into the water. That's what they were going to have to do. That was what's necessary for it to happen. In other words, it took what? A step of faith. Now remember, this water is rushing. This water is flowing. Think about it, over the not just the width of it, but the fact that it is fast flowing water. And here they are, they have to take a step of faith, and that thereby people obediently followed the Lord. And that's what they did. When the priest stepped in, and then the people came and followed after them. And that's when you see the miracle come to pass. Now what a lesson that is for you and me today. I think too often we want the Lord to just fix everything in our lives. Just do away with it. Just take care of it. You fix it. We don't want to have to make any decisions. We don't want to have to exercise any bit of faith in Him whatsoever. Lord, just take care of it. And just more, we want to just move on our way. We just want Him to do it and let that be the end of it. However, most of the time, God requires us to take a step of faith in order that we might see our Jordan parted so that we can go through it. God had a plan, but for His plan to work, it required faith on the part of the people. Trust. How often in Scripture does God say, "Trust me"? Just trust me. And that same rule is true for you and me today. As long as we're trying to solve our problems or get across our Jordan on our own, we're not walking in faith. It is when we turn loose of the reins that are on the problem and we step away from it and we turn it over to the Lord and we trust in Him to take care of it and to get us across, all for His glory. And that's when we're going to see the miracle happen. It never is about what we can do. It's always about what the Lord can do. Paul wrote the Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Then there's the performance. Notice and look at verse 15 through 17. I want you to notice in verse 15 it says, "Now as soon as the feet of the Levites hits the water," as soon as that happens, now verse 16 tells you what took place. "That the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away as Adam." That's the city of Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Salt Sea, that's what we call the Dead Sea today, that water failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho, and then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on muddy ground. Did I read that right? Dry ground. They stood on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Now here's the performance of the miracle that God had already promised to them. When the priest stepped into that raging river, it parted, and God opened a path of dry ground through the water, and the people could walk through it on dry ground. And by the way, notice in verse 16, it says that the water backed up and stood still as far as the city of Adam. That's 20 miles away. That's how far from the place that they were crossing, that's how far the Jordan River backed up, 20 miles north of where the children of Israel were going to cross. You see, God made them a path through the water that was more than adequate for His people to get through. You remember the Ten Commandments? And the people, when the sea was parted, you know, and it was maybe as wide as the church here, and that was it. No, it was 20 miles wide for those 2 million or so people to cross. Oh, God made them such a path to get through their obstacle. Now, we need to remember that faith honors God, and God honors faith. Always has, and He always will. When He moves in power, and when He takes care of the problem, it won't just be a patch-up job that'll be ready to fall apart in the future. When God takes care of it, it'll be taken care of. It'll be done right, and it'll be done forever. That's the way God works. Now, I want to encourage you today and remind you that this God who did these great things for the children of Israel is still the same God that we're serving today. And what He did then, He can do now. He's just as powerful as ever. What He did then, He can now do. Our God is able all the way through the Bible, and He is still able today. Regardless of the circumstances, He is still God, and He still can. He's still just as powerful. Now, how many times has the Lord opened a Jordan for you in your life? Can you think of some? Can you think of times in your life in the past when He's opened up rivers for you, opened up and gotten rid of an obstacle that you're facing in life? He's all we need, folks. He's all that we need. He is still the same miracle-working God that He always has been. And we need to expect miracles when we're dealing with God. And I fear sometimes that we don't do that. I don't think we expect miracles, but He's the same miracle-working God. Our God specializes in cutting problems down to size. You remember little David, when he walked out into that valley to face Goliath, and he faced an opponent who had never been defeated, an opponent that he could never have defeated himself, all by himself. Now, as we look at the calculations of the size of this man, the Goliath was about 10 feet tall. So I want you to imagine that. Meeting a man 10 feet tall. That would be about up to the just below the vent there. That'd be about 10 feet. Now think about meeting a man that size, 10 feet tall. He went into that valley with a sling, with five smooth stones, and faith in a powerful God. And that was really the key, wasn't it? Faith in a powerful God. When David cast his stone at Goliath, that giant fell down to the earth. And the scripture says that David ran up to Goliath. He drew out Goliath's own sword and he cut off the giant's head. Now here's the question that I want to ask you this morning. And that is, when that giant fell, when David took off the giant's head, was the giant still there? Was he? Well, yes, he was. He was still there. But he was no longer 10 feet tall. Now he's 9 feet long. There's a difference, isn't there? See how the giant fell? You see how he did? God had a way of taking the things that we cannot get past and fixing it to where we can get over it or get through it. So we need to consider the message that was given. We need to consider the miracle. And then last of all, in chapter 4, there's a memorial to consider. And we have to put all of this together. There must be the message that we receive from God as to what to do and how to do in order to get through that obstacle that we face. And then we have to look at the miracle as God brings us through whatever the obstacle is. And then the third and final thing is, in chapter 4, there is a memorial to consider. Now, when all of the people had passed over Jordan, Joshua commanded one man from each of the 12 tribes to get a rock in the midst of the Jordan and to build a memorial on Canaan's side. In other words, one man from every tribe went into the back into the bed that they'd crossed. He picked up a rock, brought it out, and they built a memorial out there on the dry land. And that memorial is worth looking at here today. First of all, I want you to note the purpose of the memorial. In chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, "And this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever." And then verse 21 through 24. "And then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, 'When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What are these stones?" Then you shall let your children know, saying, "Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. That all the peoples of the earth," now get that, back in verse 6 and 7, "that your children may know." And now he says that all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that they may fear the Lord your God forever. So these verses tell us what the purpose of the memorial was, and it was to remind successive generations of the power and the faithfulness of God on behalf of his people. And don't we need to do that today? Don't we need to let our children and our children's children and on, the next generations, know the power of God and the faithfulness of God? That's what he's talking about here. That memorial would be an important landmark to those who would come after this generation was gone. Now, I believe that we need to erect some memorials in our lives as well. But we also need to be very cautious, because we do not want to embalm the past, because that's going to cripple the future. And there are a lot of churches that have done that, and they're suffering as a result of it. They've embalmed the past, and that's all that's ever thought about, and that hurts the future. What we do want to do is to remember the things that the Lord has done for us so that we can tell others about them. Not only our children, but that all the people of the earth may know the power and the faithfulness of God. We want to remember the great works of our God so that when we pass this way again, that we will remember that the Lord has been faithful in the day past and He will be faithful to us today just the same. Never forget what the Lord has done for you in your life yesterday. Never forget that. It is those yesterday experiences that help us and remind us of God and that will help us to get through the trials of today and tomorrow when they arise in our life. David the psalmist wrote in Psalm 84, verse 5 and 6, he said, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you," and that's God, "whose heart is set on pilgrimage." In other words, his heart is set on moving and going. "As they pass through the valley of Baca," and that's a very dry valley, "they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools." In other words, here they are, the people that call upon you and know you, and they're going through this dry land, and yet as a result of that, the effect that it has there is that they make it a spring. And the rain comes and it covers it with pools. In other words, it has a positive effect, doesn't it? And that's exactly what our lives should have on others. From the experiences that we've had and God's faithfulness and God's power, that should help us to teach others and to speak to others about the Lord and to have be a blessing unto them. Now, as believers, we need to erect some visible memorials to the glory of God. When the Lord works in our lives, then we should memorialize that event. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that we should talk about it. I mean that we should share it with others. We should write about it. We should spread the word about what God has done in our life. We should honor Him for His faithfulness and honor Him for the work that He's done within us. Listen, there are some others that are coming along behind us. Our children and our grandchildren, they need to know. They need to know the wonders and the power of God. This next thing is, I want you to look at the picture that this memorial presents to us. I think it's interesting to notice that Joshua actually constructed two monuments. There are two monuments that are built by him. They built one on the bank of the river. The other one they built in the middle of the river, right in the middle where the priest had stood. They built one there. And these two memorials serve two distinct purposes. And I want you to see what those purposes are. First of all, there is a picture of the faithfulness of God. Look at verse 20 of chapter 4. "And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan River, Joshua set up in Gilgal." The one on the bank, this particular one of the bank of the Jordan, stood as a testimony to the faithfulness of God, as I just mentioned. Because God had been faithful. He promised and He carried His promise through. He's carrying through the promise that had been made to Abraham years and years ago, isn't He? Finally, they're coming into the land. It was there to remind others of what the Lord had done and to remind them of what the Lord could do. Now, again, we need to remember the faithfulness of God in the past because it will help us to cross the Jordans that we face today. And then secondly, there's a picture of the faith of the people. In verse 9, it says, "And then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day." Now, what about that pile of rocks in the river? They couldn't see them, could they? You know, if they're underwater, they couldn't see them. No one could see that pile. No one could see that memorial except God. He's the only one. So it stood as a monument to the faith of the people. The fact that the priest had entered the water, the priest had stood there the whole time while all of the congregation of Israel crossed over. That was their faith and their trust. So it's a monument to the faith of the people. You see, when you and I face a time of trial, a lot of times others are guilty of misjudging our motives. They misjudge our actions, but only God knows the truth of the heart, doesn't He? He's the only one who does. Even though Israel couldn't see it, they knew that that monument was there. They knew that it was there under the water. And they remembered that they had believed God. And it was God who brought them across because they had faith and trust in Him. So this was a monument. In essence, it was in their hearts. They knew it was there. And it was a reminder to them. Now I think we need some of those same kinds of monuments as well. You know, again, as I said, oftentimes others misjudge us in our times of trial. But God knows our heart. He knows what's going on. And when you have trusted in Him, and He has brought you through, never forget it. Never forget it. Have that monument, that memorial in your heart to the faithfulness and the power of God. Build that monument in your heart where only God can see it. And then never forget it. And then when the tough times come to you again, and they will, just look at that monument to His faithfulness and to your faith, and to know that what worked before will also work again. Because God doesn't change. God will bring you through your Jordan. You remember David when he killed Goliath. Before he went into battle, you remember King Saul tried to give him his armor? Put on his armor to wear as he went out, and David said he couldn't wear that. He'd never worn armor before, and besides that, it was made for someone that was a lot bigger than he was. He refused to do it. And yet, when David killed Goliath, he took Goliath's armor to his tent. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 54, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Now why? If he couldn't wear Saul's armor, and Saul was just merely head above everybody else in Israel, if he couldn't wear his armor, why in the world did he take the armor of Goliath? It was a memorial. It was a memorial. It was a reminder that no matter how great the obstacle, it is nothing when it is placed alongside the God of heaven. So it was a reminder, a memorial unto David. Now let's make an application of this. Some of you might be facing troubled waters today. You might have some obstacle that's before you today. Well, I want you to know that you can cross over it. I want you to know you can get through it. And I invite you to come to the Lord today, because He's the one who has all of the answers. Tell Him about the Jordan that you are facing and allow Him to get you past it, to get you through it. Trust Him. Trust in what He says. Trust in His command, because He will commit Himself to you. There's a place of victory where you can shout in spite of the trouble that you might face. But the first step is getting there is dealing with whatever it is that is keeping you out, whatever your Jordan might be. It might be sin. It might be some other person. It might be some trial. But whatever it is, just remember that God is greater than it. Much greater. Let Him take care of it for you. Trust Him. Have faith in Him. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, as we come to You today again, we're just thankful, Father, for the way that You work in our lives. And we're thankful that we realize that every one of us faces a Jordan River at different times. And Father, may we trust you. When we look at our problems and we look at our rivers, then so often they are just so big, we can become discouraged, we can just want to give up, but help us to trust you, to have faith in you. And then as you tell us what and how to do, Father, may our faith be in you and may we do it. In the same way that when Israel failed to listen and to look at you the first time, they were in trouble for 40 years. But now, Father, they're ready. And even though this great obstacle is before them, they trusted you. They heard what you had to say, and they followed your command. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to do that, that we might cross over any Jordan that we might face in life. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.